Good afternoon and welcome to Pleasing God, the Bible study program heard on this station Monday through Friday for 15 minutes starting at noon. We concentrate on important Bible topics and answer religious questions from the Word of God. I'm Mark J. Ward and want to thank you personally for being a regular listener to our program and ask you to please tell others about the program. You can go to our teaching website at markjward.com, scroll down to the questions area, and send me your Bible questions to be answered on the air in the future, or leave me comments that you might have about this program. Also, look for the Antique Radio at the same site, and you'll be able to see all past episodes of this program to review and study as you like. Following along with our pattern this week, we would like to look at Old Testament examples, things that are written for our learning that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And that's talking about life eternal. Now, hope is not merely a wish. The Bible definition of that word hope is desire plus expectation. For we have a true God that gives us true promises, doesn't lie to anyone, does not go back on promises, but is faithful, more faithful than anyone that you could ever know on this earth, save Jesus Christ, when he lived as God-man and died for the sins of the world. We need to learn to be pleasing in the sight of God, and God has given us everything that we need to have in order to be saved eternally. Now, will we take on a life of pleasing God like Noah that we studied about yesterday? Today we would like to look to the life of Moses. Moses was human, just like Noah, just like you and me. Moses lived and was around some good people. And Noah was just around a few people that were good because the wickedness was so great in his day. However, temptation to sin is on an individual basis, and there can be peer pressure from a crowd. And Moses had peer pressure. Moses had some things in his life that were very unique that we would do well to examine the life of Moses. In the New Testament, before we go back and look to some of those examples, let us read an overview in Hebrews the 11th chapter. This time I'll be reading from the New King James Version. After talking about Joseph in Hebrews 11 and verse 22, the writer of Hebrews, by inspiration of God, said, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt and fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." We're still speaking of Moses now. "By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned." Moses is a wonderful example, and God saw fit. And it's good for us that he put everything he did in the Bible, in the biblical account, the record that we have of the life of Moses. Moses was born a Hebrew, a Jew, if you will, and the Egyptians, not being Jews, were a power at that time. And God's people, the children of Israel, those from the lineage of Abraham, Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, and coming down to Isaac and Esau, and then we have Jacob. We have this matter of the younger being served by the older. And Esau was indeed, if you will, the father of the Edomites. And Jacob, or Israel as his name came to be, was the father of the 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel. Moses was going to lead, God's plan, the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. Moses was almost killed as a baby because the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh of Egypt, wanted and put out a decree that all the little babies, the male child, would be killed. And Moses' mother put him in a little boat, a little ark, in the bulrushes, and his sister, Moses' sister Miriam, stood by and watched over Moses. And as the Bible account records, the book of Exodus, we find that as Pharaoh's daughter was taking a bath at the riverside, she found the baby in the ark, in the bulrushes. And she's interested. And Miriam comes up and offers a nursemaid. And Pharaoh's daughter says, sure. So Miriam wisely goes back and gets the physical mother of Moses. Moses goes in and is treated well since Pharaoh's daughter found him. While his brethren suffered persecution, he was not raised to forget. He was just a baby. But he was raised to know about his Jewish heritage. And as the Hebrew writer expressed, there were times when he was willing to suffer with the people of God and make choices in his life that were not easy, that many people would not make the same choices. They would live in the lap of luxury and never let it be known that they wanted to defect from Egypt and go be with these slaves, the Israelites, that were in Egyptian bondage. But through the providence of God and the care of God and the working of God's plan in the affairs of men and women today, back then, God is concerned for all of us. God gives everyone a chance and the opportunity to be on His side. God allows free moral agency, and Moses made choices, even though there was temptation, I'm sure, to live in the lap of luxury. Moses became a great leader to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, but Moses was very hesitant. Moses was even resistant in talking to the God above. And as the record would indicate, he did not want to go to Pharaoh. He did not want to ask or demand or say, let my people go. And even introduce the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to Pharaoh. He said, I'm not a good speaker. Let my brother Aaron be the one. That went back and forth a little bit with God above. God finally says, no, you're going, and I will let Aaron be your prophet. God says, I'll tell you, Moses, what I want done and what I want said, and you're going to tell Aaron, and Aaron will be allowed to be the spokesperson in actuality when you're face to face. But you're both going. You're both going to do this because this is my will. Moses complied, Aaron complied. This was pleasing in the sight of God. And so it went forth to where the plagues came. Moses and Aaron would go tell the Pharaoh, if you don't let the children of Israel go, let my people go. Let the Lord's people go. There's going to be some plagues, frogs everywhere, lice, flies, murrain of cattle. Pharaoh would vacillate back and forth, as some people do. There are secondary lessons here to today's lesson, but do we vacillate and do we make promises and say, yes, I'll do something, and then we renege, we back up. Oh, I know it's possible to change your mind. But God knows when we're abusing the phrase, well, I changed my mind. And when we have told someone that they could count on us and we would do something and we don't perform that which we said we would do. Bible says, let our yea be yea and our nay be nay. We don't even, and we're not supposed to, swear or take oaths in the New Testament dispensation, James says. But oh, our speech is so important. So here comes the death of the firstborn and the first Passover, and Moses is there, and he's going back and to between the children of Israel. And the children of Israel got mad because when Moses enters in and starts dealing with Pharaoh, they're making bricks. And if you remember the story, they had straw provided to them and they could make the bricks. And when Moses gets involved and starts working for the Lord, then Pharaoh gets mad and they say, take away the straw, but don't lower the quantity of bricks that we want to have. So the taskmasters get even more firm and unfair with the children of Israel. And the children of Israel are looking at Moses like, man, are you crazy? And Moses is not trying to make things harder on his people, the people of God, the children of Israel, but rather deliver them out of this bondage and start heading toward the promised land. Sometimes things get worse before they get better in life. And that's a lesson that we can learn from this part of Moses' life. Now, the promised land for them was the land of Canaan. It was a physical place. It was a place that flowed with milk and honey, and the spies went out, but we'll not take time to go into all of that at this particular time, but Lord willing, in future studies, maybe not this week, but we need to get Joshua and Caleb with regard to that, and we'll touch on possibly Joshua tomorrow. But Moses is successful in staying a leader and staying the course, even though he's unpopular at times with the populace. Sometimes we're going to have to take a stand for what is right, like Moses, even if it makes us unpopular with our friends or our relatives. We need to have that intestinal fortitude, that type of character within us to stand for the truth lovingly and try to bring people along when we know the will of God, and they may be kicking against it. Moses comes forth and he leads and he does good things for the people and is a good spokesman for God, but he makes mistakes just like we all do. And one was severe enough that God says, I'll let you look over into the promised land, but you're not going to be able to go. That was fair. That was just, given the nature of not giving God credit for bringing water out of a rock on the second occasion. We need to realize that God doesn't play favorites. God is fair and just, and although Moses had gone through all this and endured so much, and God loved Moses. He loves us all, so much so that he sent his only begotten son, that if we'll obey him, if we'll believe, if we'll do the things that we're supposed to do, we'll be saved in the end. For Jesus is the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. But not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now that's Jesus talking. If you've got a beef with that, you take it up with Jesus, because I'm not going to disagree with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Cry, will you? Let's be careful. Tune in tomorrow as we study more from the Word of God. I bid you a pleasant good day.